What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Just some housekeeping before we get started. Reminder, we are doing the book club again for the month of May. This month, we are reading Winning by Tim Grover. Tim Grover was Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Charles Barkley, Dwayne Wade. He was their like performance coach. He wrote a couple books. The Winning is his sequel or his second book. I'm about halfway through it right now. It's really, really good. And so get out there, grab the book, read it. We'll be recapping that one at the end of the month here next week. So, you know, you got some catch up to do, but get out there, read that book, and we'll recap it for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused throughout our shows. NeuroGum is a chewing gum with caffeine, B vitamin 6 and 12, and L-theanine. Helps keep you energized, focused, helps with some memory recall. I like to chew it whenever I'm training CrossFit, whenever I'm driving around showing houses, doing jujitsu. I consume it a lot. So it's really good. Helps me. Prevents me from grabbing another energy drink or coffee at the end of the day. Because it's only about 40 milligrams per piece. So it's about half a cup of coffee. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
And shout out to our people over at Fit Flavors till the 30th. So you got a little bit more time. Using the promo code podcast50, we'll get you 50% off a one-time online gift card. I went on, got a $1,000 gift card for $500. I eat Flip Flavors all the time. I love their stuff. I actually got a thing sitting here. But it's great for busy people on the go that really want to make sure they're staying on top of their nutrition, tracking their numbers, because it's a great way to track your macros and still get healthy, delicious meals that takes about a minute and 30 to cook. So go on there, podcast50 for a 50% off coupon on a one-time online gift card.
All right, guys, now we're going to introduce our guest today. He is a father, an entrepreneur, the owner and founder of the Builders of Authority, the great and powerful Adam McChesney.
Welcome, sir.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah. Excited to be here.
Yeah.
Glad to have you, man.
I love the setup.
Well, thanks, man.
It's pretty awesome.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Well, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so born and raised here in South County. Like, I know a lot of you
guys, all of us
listeners, all that good stuff. So super excited to be here. Married to my wife, Delaney. We have an 8-month-old, as we were kind of talking about before, Murphy, our dog, Georgie. So I basically lived in South County my entire life, went and played soccer at Columbia College, graduated there, lived there for, you know, a bonus 6 months, and then moved back to my mom's house, and then went to Valley Park for a little bit, and then came back here. So we live about 10 minutes from here. But after college, I ended up getting into medical device sales. So I played with a lot of soccer players that ended up going into medical device sales. And I had no idea what it was or what sales really was outside of like the typical sales job. But I just saw them come back for alumni stuff. And they're always driving like the nicest cars, and they were making the most money and traveling and all that stuff. So I was like, I want to do that. So I got on with a small company here in St. Louis for about 18 months. And my territory was basically the entire East Coast. So I was in and out of traveling, pretty much in Boston, like over half the year, but I just kind of cut my teeth in making sales and doing all the stuff with door knocking, like the typical stuff you have to do in sales. And so I did that for about 18 months, really cut my teeth there and got to travel, got to experience a lot of stuff. And then I got on with a company called ResMed. So if anybody's familiar with CPAP equipment, the devices, masks, I sold there for about 3.5 years, went from a support role to key account manager. And at that role, like everybody knew who ResMed was. And there was only one other competitor for devices and two competitors on masks. So I didn't have to like market myself or knock a bunch of doors. It was more so about like solution selling, upselling, cross selling, and things like that. And so the year before I came to ResMed, like the most I ever made was 50 grand. My first year at ResMed, I made 90. And then I ended up getting promoted 8 months in, and I made 200K in my first year. So I had this like massive like shift in a very short period of time. Where,
and how long ago was this?
So that was 2018 when I made 200K. And so I'm sitting there, I'm thinking like, okay, I got into ResMed kind of thinking the future was 200K.
Yeah.
Even 100K would have been nice, because I just wasn't around people that I knew, and we just weren't having those conversations. So that was like, six figures was my, hey, this is where,
like,
I want to
everybody's
go.
Goal, man. Yeah. I mean, like, whenever you're a kid, like younger in college, it's like your goal is that six figures, 100 grand just seems like an unattainable goal. And then when you get there, you're like, oh, that wasn't that hard.
Well, not to mention, even in the last like 4 or 5 years,
right,
it doesn't go anywhere near compared to where it was. And so back in 2018, as I like saw the future of where I was going, I was like, okay, everybody that's ahead of me, I was the youngest key account manager by 10 years. So like, they created this support role in the company right when I came on, like the couple months before. So they didn't, I was the first one of those people to get promoted in the entire company. And everybody else had kind of been around the ecosystem, but it was like known that like, once you're in ResMed, you just don't leave. Like, you just don't leave, right? You retire there. It's that good of a company. But I saw like my manager ahead of me, and then a couple other promotion avenues of like making a little bit more money, but traveling way more than I already was. At least this time I was only in Missouri, but I was still driving all over Missouri. And it was a lot more responsibility. And I was like, this is stupid. Yeah. Like, this is just not what I want. So I had proposed to Delaney in 2018 in August. And then in November, I was sitting in a hotel room in Kansas City, Missouri, just like super pissed off. I just like, we were getting a bunch of commission dollars for this new piece of equipment that we were selling, ventilators at the time, which ended up being super popular a couple of years later with COVID. But we just kind of launched it, and then they like cut off our commission because we were selling so much of it. And I was like the type of guy where it's like, hey, if you go do this, you make more money. Like, I would just follow the money, right?
Yeah,
and so I got so pissed off. I was like, okay, that was my first kind of like slap on the wrist of like, there's a cap to all of this stuff. So I was sitting in my hotel room, and I typed in how to make money online. And I was sitting in the hotel room, and all these ads start popping up, right? With like eBay reselling, Amazon drop shipping. I looked into a couple things and then just kind of said, yeah, I'm not going to do this. But then I went back on Facebook and I saw this like shiny picture of a large apartment complex, because I was also looking into real estate investment. And it was basically like, copywriting was incredible, but it was a retargeted ad basically saying, hey, how would you like to own this apartment complex without actually owning it? And I thought, that's really cool. And so I bought the $7,000 course, right? I paid it off over like 18 months because I was just lazy with it. But that course taught me how to build websites and rank them. And so for the next 2 years, essentially, I built sites, ranked them, and then started selling leads.
But what does that mean?
Basically building a simple website, doing search engine optimization with it so that the website and then the maps listing, that the Google Business Profile, when somebody's typing in for a service specifically near them, my website would pop up.
Okay.
But that call would come to my phone, and then I would go negotiate the deal or sell the lead to like a roofer, a tree service company, landscaper, et cetera. And so I built 200 of those all over the country, but I never really like made money with it, because it was kind of just, hey, this is a case study thing like that. I told myself in 2020 that by December 31st, I was going to leave ResMed, but I was not making any money at the time. Well, then COVID hits, and I just start to like, I was already investing more in making money. So I was waking up super early, working super late, and I started to like actually get clients from it. And so I have like $10,000 recurring revenue coming in June. We just bought our house, which like, luckily I used the W-2 and all that stuff to be able to buy the house. And then 6 weeks later, I put my 2 weeks in. And I said, hey, I'm going all in. So over the past couple of years, coming up on 4 years here in like 6 or 7 weeks, I've been in the digital marketing, personal branding space. I've ran my own agency. I became a franchise of an agency. I then became a partner at that franchise company. And now I'm kind of doing a little bit of everything when it comes to business consulting, personal branding. I have a community called Builders of Authority, where we help people build personal brands, more so just walk them through the blueprint. Because over the last couple of years, you know, we grew our agency to about $4.5 million top line revenue in a very short period of time. We hit, in my agency, I hit $1 million in business in 15 months. And so I grew super quickly, just basically off my content, my connections, my relationships online. But we were doing websites, SEO, paid ads, kind of all of that stuff. Inc. 5,000 2 years in a row. I grew up to about 120 team members. In our larger agency, and then in my franchise, I had about 10. So I've done quite a bit in the last 4 years. I've started an auto glass company. I've started a landscape design company, like a lot of different things I've done. So to try to dwindle that down, I it was a little bit long of an introduction.
No, dude, that's awesome. That was great. Well, shit.
I mean, I remember talking to you a couple of years ago, and didn't you start the landscaping and window glass company just as like a proof of concept to show what it was that you were doing works?
Yeah.
And it took off and blew up and became two very successful companies.
Yeah. So those
that's pretty fucking cool.
Those initial 200 sites like that I built, like this is where I kind of carved my personal brand and carved the space where most marketing companies, even the largest marketing companies here in St. Louis, the ones that everybody knows, they actually suck at marketing. They're good at sales. They're sales organizations. But once a client comes in, they're just a number. And they really don't know how to do the activity. They're outsourcing it internally, or they're just shifting it off to like an intern, or they're pressing buttons. So for me, I built those 200 sites, which is more sites than most agencies ever build.
So these websites, right?
Yes. Okay. So I built 200 sites before I actually charged anybody anything. So I have all these different case studies. So when I go full time, which is kind of where the personal branding stuff comes into play, people were like, "Hey, Adam, can you show me, show me results?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, here. What do you want?
Right.
Do you want St. Louis? Do you want Columbia, Missouri? Do you want a random city in California? Do you want auto glass? Do you want..." And so
industry?
Yeah. So I was like, dude, I've done it all. And so all those different things started to happen. But in 2021, we started our auto glass company and then our landscape design company, because those sites that I actually were building were generating so many phone calls that the people I was sending the leads to couldn't handle them. So like the guy here is in here in Fenton, and he's had the auto glass company for like 20 years. And he was like, "Adam, you're sending me 300 or 400 phone calls a month. I can't pay the worth of them because I can't handle his one man shop." But when it was 30 or 40 calls a month, it was really effective. Well, as the site grew, we just decided to start the company, because I was going to every other auto glass company in town. And I was like, "Hey guys, I have this." And they were like, "F off. That's not real."
Yeah.
"Okay, you can go listen to all these calls." I tried to climb up the ladder to Safelite. I was like, "Safelite, you guys are spending, you know, $20,000 to $30,000 a month just on pay per click." But they didn't want to hear from me. So then I just became their competitor.
Yeah, that's sick.
Might as well, right?
Well, yeah. What I love about that is, you know, you gave a bunch of, I mean, you were just doing shit for free for a long time, you know, and that's what so many people are afraid to do. Like, especially when they're getting started in something, they're expecting to like start something and just immediately like get paid on it and like get a return on that investment immediately, which, you know, as we've learned here, it doesn't happen overnight. It's got to take, here we are, 4 or 5 years later. And, you know, I mean, you are where you are now. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, that's what I coach a bunch of entrepreneurs right now and business owners. So I have a group of about 50 people in our group mastermind. I have 7 one-to-one clients as I've transitioned out of the agency, and I love working with them. But what pisses me off just about the situation in general of just how, as you just mentioned, look at entrepreneurship, they look at success, is they forget that I built those 200 websites for free.
Right. Yeah.
That I lost money for 2 years before I tried to make money. They forget that I've been building my personal brand for 4 years now, but they look at the last 4 months that 100%. They know me and they're like, "Why is your stupid post about nothing or a meme or a reel going off and you're getting business from it, but I'm following your playbook?" I'm like, "Hey, that's not how this stuff works. And even if we had side-by-side comparisons, it's still not to say that you're going to have, I mean, you might have more success than me even, right?" Mm-hmm. But everybody tried to compare their, you know, chapter 1 or 2 to my chapter 30. And that's just not how things go.
Yeah. No, they're not seeing, what's the poster of the iceberg at the top and then all that underneath. They're not seeing that underneath.
Yeah, I saw one the other day that was even better than that. I saw it was like a podium, like a, you know, like a normal competition podium where you see like the 3 blocks, but it was like behind a wall. And then there was like all these blocks behind that they're like standing on and you don't see because it's behind a wall. And all you see is the first place, second place, third place. And I thought, I was like, "Oh, that's like a perfect way to perfect analogy or perfect meme or whatever you want to call it." Cause it really describes like all the work that goes into that you don't see, all those, you know, the 200 websites that you made for free that nobody, you know, that you made for free for people, you know, you provided all that value for nothing, expected nothing in return.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a perfect way to describe it.
Right. I completely agree with that. I mean, and it goes back to, you know, what we've talked about before, like the stuff from James Clear, where it's like, do and do and do and do and do, keep doing, because I'm sure the first website you built was probably not that great.
It's awful.
But I'm telling you that 200th website you built was probably pretty fucking great.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is like, just you just went and you jumped in and you just did until you became really good at it.
Yeah.
And that's what I guess, and And I was trash on the first loan I ever did.
Yeah.
Like I go back and I think about it and I'm like, fuck.
Dude, like, my first sale I did. Yeah,
it's like to where I'm at now. I mean, I've closed over 1,000 transactions in my career. And it's like, you go back and like, as long as you're getting better each time, I mean, obviously it's from your success and why, I mean, I've been around kind of on the back's end. We're friends. We've been playing softball together for what, since 2015, 16, 17, yeah, before you even, before you started, before you started all this, but then like watching it grow and seeing it and all the posts. And I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you're active and you're constantly there. And, you know, it's kind of been fun from the back end. Be like, hey, yeah, man, I've known him before he started this, and watching him grow this has been pretty cool. And now you've got this whole community, Builders of Authority, and it's like, that's fucking awesome.
Oh, dude, it is. And, you know, you said something there that, you know, is something about the social media and how someone, you know, their chapter one or two doesn't, you know, they're expecting it to look like your chapter 30. And like, I've got a guy that I'm training right now, and, you know, and he's like, man, I just don't think social media is where it doesn't work for me. I was like, dude, you've made two posts. It's like, bro, I'm 4 or 5 years. I'm like 5 years in really to like taking my social media seriously. And like over the last year or two is when I'm finally starting to get people, you know, noticing me from there that aren't just my friends and family that would probably use me anyway.
Mm.
And, you know, I'm having like for example, we were talking about the couple in California that I'm working with, saw one of my reels online. And they're looking for a real estate agent in St. Louis. Boom. I mean, it was like, I just like the way you market yourself. And I was like, okay, great. You know, I've gotten a handful of those, but it's, you know, it's taken years to build that. And,
yeah.
You know, it just doesn't happen overnight.
I like the way you market yourself too.
Right? You know why? Cause you do it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Cause I remember when I sat down with you, what was that? 2000 and probably 21. When we went to grab lunch at Billy G's.
Yeah.
And I was asking, I'm like, so do you do any of this for real estate or mortgage side of it? And at the time, I don't know if you do now, but at the time he was like, honestly, he's like, for how long it takes for a real estate agent or a mortgage person to build up. I mean, he's like, you're looking at 18 to 24 months before it even really becomes a thing. So 100%. Like, even for you and I, like, you know, we've been like off and on doing it. We started doing it a few years ago, but like, we've really been consistent within the last 12 to 18 months. So we're at that point where if we continue to do it, like you mentioned, like it could pop off at any moment just because we were one of the original ones in the area to start posting this stuff.
Yeah. I went back and looked at that pretty recently just because I was like, when did I, because there was a time where I challenged myself. I was like, I'm posting once a day for 30 days. And that's how I like got started in it. And like from there, I like saw a huge like, and it wasn't like a bunch of activity, but I had people starting to notice that I was doing shit all the time, you know, or I was posting, and it was half of my stuff was just like the silly, like voiceover reels,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Just to be funny.
I mean,
you know,
shit, we did the office one.
Yeah. Or, like all that kind of stuff. I think that was like beginning of 22, I want to say. So it's, you know, 2 years of like very consistent, like at least anywhere from 5 to 7 times a week, you know, posting.
Yeah.
And like, I'm finally starting to see it 2 years later. You know, it's just like, it takes a long time.
That's how it happens in like every industry, and every market is going to be completely different. Just kind of like what we were talking about back then. I was like, you know, I know, cause I'm basically, as I've transitioned out of the day to day in a digital marketing company, I'm doing more training. Right. Mm-hmm. So I still want to be able to train people in digital marketing, but train them to do it themselves from like a website and SEO standpoint. But like, I know I can go rank like a Christmas light website, which I'm currently doing right now. I ranked that the first page of Google in like 5 months, but it would take forever for a realtor or a mortgage, like insurance, those different types of things. So that's where people go wrong as well, is they like compare themselves to other people outside of their industry or in a small market versus a big market. And it's like, you can't, that's not an apples to apples comparison. But the other aspect is, so many people don't want to consistently do the discipline that's obviously behind it. Like, I've missed maybe 3 or 4 days. I can count on one hand in the last 4 years, but there was always something going on. Right. That like, I can give myself the excuse, I guess you could say, but so many people want to do it for 30 days and then be like, okay, I did it for 30 days. I have enough momentum to continue to go. When I got started with it back in 2020, it took me, I told myself I was going to do it for 90 days. I bought into a program that said, do it for 90 days. At day 89, I sold my first deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy ended up being a client for 3.5 years, paying me over $100,000 over that course of time, and referred me a bunch of business. And now he's a buddy of mine, local tree guy.
Incredible.
But would have never happened. And there's probably other deals that came from that. But like people were signing up for me. I mean, I'm still getting people, even though I'm not an agency, people still reaching out to me and literally being like, Adam, like I got 3 leads this morning for digital marketing stuff. People just know it, right? Mm-hmm. So they continue to go back. People have been connected to for years on social media.
You see it all the time. If you're in any of those, I know a guy, gal groups. I mean, anytime somebody talks about advertising or marketing, I mean, I see his name on every single post. So, I mean, that's what the power of social media does. And like, well, I mean, we keep talking about it. If you're not on it, you're way behind. You know? So, I mean, I remember that, I guess that was, right before COVID, 2020, you know, Steve Sims is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he's a real big guy about, so on social media, he's always ahead of the trends, like entrepreneur. He's written a couple New York Times bestsellers, but he was our keynote speaker that Guild brought in 2020. And this is February of 2020. So like literally a month before the world died, you know, and he came in and he was talking to us and he's like, if you're not on TikTok, you're too late. Mm-hmm. He's like, get on TikTok now. And this like TikTok had just got launched in the States, like maybe 6 months prior.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all like, get the fuck out of here, TikTok. You know, like, you know, I don't think anybody went and did it.
No,
and
then all of a sudden,
and then all of a sudden a year later, everyone's on TikTok.
I can't get my wife off it.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you gotta get, like you said, I mean, it all boils down to consistency in anything that you do. And obviously you're going to suck the first couple times, but just like anything, jump in and do it and, you know, stay consistent and get better each time. And you know, the success will follow. Just be patient. That's a problem. Everybody wants instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might be like part of why, I mean, we're different from our generation. Millennials want instant gratification. They want things now. And it's only the younger that they get, the faster that they want it. And they don't have the patience to do it. And I'm like, you look at our future kind of concerned because we don't have people that are wanting to go out and try and build new things because, or start new things because they don't have the patience to do it.
Right. They try it once, it doesn't work. And they think this doesn't work. It's like, well, no, it doesn't work yet.
Right. Well, and I think that I honestly think it all goes back to us being all athletes. I mean, you were a college soccer player. You were a football player, wrestler. Now you're into jiu-jitsu and all those things. I mean, baseball, hockey, football, now jiu-jitsu, all that stuff. Like, we all know that it takes patience and practice to get good at it. And then we're just taking those principles and now applying it to what we're doing in real life.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, I think kids nowadays are making money so much easier, right? And less kids are going to college, right? Mm-hmm. Which that's a whole other topic. But I think one of the things that I realized early on is I didn't pay myself for the first 9 months that I was running the business. It wasn't that we weren't bringing money in, but I was investing it to go hire coaches, to join mastermind groups, to do a lot of those things where I felt late to the game getting started full time at 28 going into 29, where I was like, if I can condense the time to trade money to go get the education from all these people and be in the room with the people that have already done what I'm looking to do, I'd rather do that. And that was why, like, even when I went into being a franchise with 26 other locations, there was a reason why we were over a third of all 26 locations' revenue. We were the only ones that were really making a bunch of money, and I was the only one treating it like a business to a different degree. So we were creating like a complete degree of separation because I was doing things and everybody's sitting over there like, oh, we made a bunch of money. Now I'm going to go buy shit.
Mm-hmm.
I made a bunch of money. Now I'm going to go take a vacation.
Yeah, I'm going to go buy a car. I'm going to go buy a new house.
I'm going to go do stuff, or I'm going to start paying myself more. It's like, no, like I would pay some of my people just as much, if not more than me certain months because like they deserved it. And I needed to reinvest back in them. So then that way I could like live the life. Like so many people want not just the instant gratification, but they don't want to actually make the investment in themselves by understanding, hey, I might take an immediate hit for a long-term return on investment.
Yeah. You got to see it as you have to be willing to invest in yourself. Like I'm a big proponent. I mean, I've had a real estate coach ever since I got in the business, and you know, there's a lot of agents out there that, you know, just don't want to spend that money every month. And, you know, I mean, I don't know where I'd be without my coach. I mean, well, it helps me. I mean,
same. And my business coach was like, you should be reinvesting 30% of your income back into your business.
Mm.
I like that.
I mean, which, you know, take a look at what you're making. And you're thinking 30%. I'm like, damn, I'm not anywhere
close to that. Yeah.
I'm like, shit, I need to step. I'm at like 10.
Yeah.
And I'm like 10. I'm like, but 10 covers all my costs. He goes, well, then you're not doing enough.
Yeah.
She's like, you should be doing more. And I'm like, fuck you. You're right.
You're right.
God damn it. Anthony. Fuck
yeah.
You.
Yeah.
But so, all right, let's talk about, you know, builders of authority. Where did the idea come from? How did this spur? How did it get started? Explain to the viewers what that is. And because this is relatively new.
Yeah.
In the last couple months, right?
Yeah. So it officially like launched, kicked off in late November. So going on like 6 months now. Builders of Authority is group. So there's a course, and main thing is the group mastermind, and then one-to-one coaching for entrepreneurs who are looking to be more than just their business. And so we teach them a lot of the strategies I've used from a personal branding, organic social media standpoint to become an authority in their space, but not be known as like Dave the auto guy.
Right.
So like got a guy that's been in the auto industry for 20 years, wants to eventually start like a consulting business, wants to bring on other businesses, invest into real estate, but nobody knows him other than the guy that fixes cars. So a lot of people don't realize that they are the identity of their business and they want to be more than that, or they want to go like speak and do different stuff that I've done. They want to start a podcast. They want more things. So in March of 2022, I got on stage for the first time at a marketing event, spoke to about 100 marketers, and I just walked through, like, I was terrible at speaking my first time, and I just walked through my blueprint of, hey, this is what I do every day. And this is how we scaled from $0 to $1 million in 15 months. In a room full of marketing agency owners that most of them had been in the business for 5 years. Most of them hadn't even hit $500,000 in a year. And they're all sitting there and they're like mind blown, not because I was good, but because how simple the information was. And so it wasn't that they didn't know, like I wasn't teaching, hey, here's how to hack the algorithm. Here's how to like find clients this way. They were like, this is so simple. It's stupid.
Yeah, put the work in.
Put the work in. Yeah. But what the conversations kind of sparked after was, do you have a course? Do you have a mastermind? Do you coach people one-to-one? And at that point, I'd already started multiple companies, and I had been in around in masterminds and systems where everybody makes fun of the person that goes, creates the course, that does the thing.
Right.
And so I just didn't have I'm glad I didn't do it then, but I just didn't have enough. I had the imposter syndrome. I didn't have enough self-validation of being like, hey, I've only done this to a million. Like, I feel like I need to do even more.
Right.
So I kind of put it off for a couple of years, but I've spoken on over 50 stages over the last couple of years, mainly around personal branding and what I'm doing. And every single time it was like the same reaction. But then I would follow up with people that were like so bought in to what it is I was doing. And like 1% of the people were actually following the simple 90-day game plan I was giving them. The big difference was accountability and discipline. So I was like, okay, I need to kind of create this. And so in June of last year, I went from franchise owner to a partner at the agency that I was at in lieu of basically running a business, because I wanted to create this other community, but I also wanted to be involved in the agency because I'm like, I get 4 to 5 leads a day coming in that I can just make money off this and own a piece of the pie. So that was the original reason behind why I did that. But in June of last year, so like right after the partnership formed, I spoke to about 400 marketers in Costa Rica. There was 10 speakers. So it was John Maxwell, Kevin Harrington, Daryl Eves, big YouTube guy that does stuff with Mr. Beast, Jimmy Darts, like all these famous people. And then me, like I was literally the outcast, right? And then there were some sponsors that spoke, right? But like I spoke again. And it's definitely like the best one I've ever given, because I was talking to the previous version. Like everybody says, you're able to best coach and guide people to the previous version of who you were. And nobody, I mean, there was very few people that had eclipsed what I had eclipsed in the digital marketing space in that room. So it was just easy for me. It was a great stage and all those things. But then like people were like, Adam, I'm ready to pay you. I'm ready to pay you. Well, Murphy was getting ready to get born, you know, a couple months later. So I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to put this on my plate right now. But then it officially launched in October. I kind of started to figure out kind of the game plan, started to put some things in place, and then it officially launched in November. And, you know, I do this webinar. I get like 300 people registered for the webinar, which was incredible, and I had 100 people watch me for over an hour talk about the blueprint, but talk about it in a little bit more of a generic way. You can take this to any industry. But then I launched the program after, which was a huge learning lesson for me because I confused the fuck out of people. Can I cuss on this?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure.
I didn't always ask because sometimes I forget. But
no, go for it. Say whatever you want.
So I confused the fuck out of people because I said, like, hey, here's where you buy the course. Here's our group mastermind. Here's the one-to-one coaching. Here's a free group, all these different things. And so I literally got off the thing and everybody was like, man, we can't wait for this, right? People have been asking me for 2 years for this. And then I finish up the webinar and I go to my computer. I'm looking at Stripe. Nothing. And so I'm like, shit, like I had all these people on here. It's a huge learning lesson. Well, then I wake up the next morning and two people buy the one-to-one stuff. And then
all of a
sudden,
all separate, like set up as different things.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it was like, you can't buy into one. Like it was, I get confused even talking about it, but good learning lesson for sure. But then we get like 10 people in the first group, which launched about 2 weeks later. And then, so since then, it's just a continuous evolving group. So we have two calls a week. We have accountability calls where you get access to my virtual assistant to kind of like help build out your plan. We do a variety of other like coursework so people can go in and look at the course. And then we have a private Facebook group, all that good stuff. We threw our first event kind of as like we call the Builders of Authority Live, had about 50 people that were here in St. Louis in March. Our next event is coming up in June. And we have 80 people already registered for that. Awesome. And so they're kind of trying to like do different stuff to figure out like what works and what doesn't. Cause I'm kind of in this like next stage, but I'm trying to like build this business and build this community differently than I built my marketing agency. And that for me is really, really tough because I just went balls to the wall for three, almost four straight years and just growing in like millions and millions of dollars and growing team members and getting all these awards and stuff. And then I built it all to basically have it almost crash and burn.
Well, and you know, throwing another monkey wrench of having an 8 month old at home. Right. I mean, that's got to be. I mean, because every you know us both of us can you know attest that that definitely makes things harder. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's definitely not as you know your time is you know consumed for sure.
Oh yeah,
you know, it's definitely a little bit more of a challenge when you've got you know a baby at home. So I'm sure. How has that changed your life?
Man, it's been an interesting experience. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, I think, you know, you always have your idea of what it's going to be like as with anything in life. And then it's completely different once it actually happens. The main, and I shared this at our event last time, the main thing that kind of like opened up my eyes, right, about what I was doing is everybody says, hey, I'm building the business for us, right? Your wife, your kids, your family, whatever that might be. And so that's what I was telling myself for like three straight years. I was like, we're making all this money. We have all this money in the bank from in the business. Like we have assets, we have recurring revenue. We have all these things. Well, I didn't realize that like that was sustainable for all of the wrong reasons. Cause I was hanging out with and partnered with people that were using me to go build their dream. Right. Even as a franchisee, even as a partner in this thing, because I had something that they didn't have, and I thought they had something I didn't have, but I was just too big of a bitch to go like learn it the hard way myself because I never really got knocked down for three straight years. Yep. And that's like what most people have to deal with. But I just had success after success for the most part. And so as I was going and building this thing, I'm like, okay, great. We're going to have this business that I can now step away with a little bit further because I'm not in the day to day as much as I was in the agency. That now when Murphy is born, I can go ahead and do it. Cause that was my whole thing. It's like, I want to be able to spend more time. I like the business was running me more than I was running the business. So I took 2 weeks off after he was born. The plan was a month, but I ended up taking 2 weeks off. And so it was the most incredible 2 weeks. I like didn't really get on my phone. I had some social media posts go out, but I get back in. And I just realized like I want more of this. And so I get back into the business after 2 weeks and we had just hired two new people that had already been franchise owners, knew the whole freaking system. They just needed to come in and take what I was doing and run with it. Nothing fucking happened in 2 weeks.
Oh, shit.
No sales, no freaking meetings. The only leads that came in were literally leads that I was still managing kind of on the side that like, so I'm sitting here like, what the fuck? I just like did this whole merger. I dumped in. So like, I think for me, like I dumped in $200,000 in recurring revenue into this partnership, over $100,000 in cash to this thing that like I was building it for my, like them, but for my family to be able to spend less time in the business and more time with them. And their whole thing was like, no,
we need you
in there. So like there was a whole misalignment situation. And so that was an aha moment for me of like, okay, I got to go build this builders of authority thing. And I know it's going to suck. And I have to go back to my wife now and tell her like, hey, I have to build this thing because I fucked up. I put a bunch of money in this thing and I trust, like I did that, but this is going to be like the longer haul thing. Otherwise we're going to be stuck and I'm going to be sitting here working even more, building something that isn't 100% mine. And so I had to like go relearn that hard lesson as he was getting born. So like I take a look back and I'm like, okay, I'm glad that that happened when it did. So then that way, as he's not like older, that he's not just like seeing this stuff. So I'm trying to like get back in a position of what I originally thought I was getting myself into. But if he wasn't born, like, I don't know if I would have made that move. I don't know if I would have actually like stuck up for myself and all those things, because the game changes when you bring a little one in the world and you're like, okay, if somebody's fucking with me, then I got to like stand up for myself. So a lot of people that have been around me, right, they know Adam as like the guy that's like, hey, you know, pretty easy to get along with, which I am, but like I take a lot of shit from people, and I've taken a lot of shit from people even as a business owner, whether it's clients, whether it's employees, whether it's partners. And now it's just like, no, go fuck yourself. Right. Like you're not going to get away with that shit.
So did you back out of the agency then?
So it's a whole long story. So we're kind of like going back and forth. So technically I'm still a shareholder.
Gotcha.
So I'm still a shareholder. I kind of got fired actually.
Really?
So like I said, hey, I'm going to go do this. The idea was, hey, we're going to do a 12-month transition. That's what I proposed to them. Cause I said, hey guys, if I walk away, employees are going to leave, clients are going to leave, partners are going to leave. Everybody's going to get pissed. And they thought I was crazy. All of that has happened and more. But the reason it happened is because I said like, hey, I want to go do this. I just want to get paid out what I put in my 25% equity. And they were like, no, we're not doing that. Cause they had made so many bad financial decisions that my $100,000 in recurring book of business that I brought in, just like, be like, we might as well just lit it on fire.
How frustrating.
So they knew that was coming to happen, obviously. Right. And so what ended up happening is 4 days later, they were just like, yeah, you're cut off. Like they shut off my email. So like I built Builders of Authority on their technology. So I had to go like rebuild a bunch of shit. Like it was fucking awful, but it was a blessing in disguise. And like, luckily we're, you know, going back through like the back and forth part of the whole legal shit. But that for me was like the biggest like, oh fuck moment of going from like, I made this decision for my family, but I had done it wrong before and for the wrong reasons that it ended up backfiring and blowing up in my face.
Lesson learned. Now we know how to, you know, but again, but that's part of entrepreneurship, and that's part of the shit that people don't see or understand. And you know, you're going to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how you recover from them and move forward. I mean, you could have let that defeat you and there would be no Builders of Authority.
Exactly.
You know, so, you know, it's just a testament to your ability to continue to push forward and work hard and do the things that you need to do to move forward, not just as a business person, but as a father, as a husband, to provide for, you know, you say it's not about your family, but in the end, there is still a little bit, you know, it is a little bit about the family. You know, and you know, for me, that's, I always talk, like people always ask me what my why is, and my why is tied to my kids. You know, I want them to learn what hard work is. I want them to learn what it takes to be successful and that you don't quit or back down. I mean, there's been times, hell, I've said it this week. I'm like, fuck this job. Like, I want to quit. Like, fuck this thing, you know, but then I got to reel myself back in and I'm like, you know what? It's just a rough time right now. It's going to be okay. Just keep doing what you're doing. Keep pushing forward. You know, make adjustments and get better each day. But yeah, ultimately, like, it's my why, my kids, is I'm doing this and busting my ass for them, but it's not for them to have a you know, better life. It's for them to learn what hard work and success and all that stuff is. So, you know, speaking of, you know, kids, you know, what's been your biggest learning experience outside of work as a father?
I think, you know, as I was talking about, like, hey, you know, I wanted to do some of this stuff because I don't want him to get too old and see it, but like they pick up on shit really quickly.
Oh, hell yeah.
Like he's already grabbing my phone, you know, like, so it's been, I think for me, it's being present. Like there's a whole different act of being present when you have kids. Right.
So
it's like, okay. And that was you know, it's still a struggle for me, right? Where I'm like accidentally, like I'm actually doing it, but like looking at my phone when I'm not realizing, because we can just get down into the technology, especially like in our businesses, where if somebody's interested in doing business with us, like they could also go to somebody else if we don't answer quick enough in their mind, right? And so it's this whole like game, right? But I think in that process, I've just learned about like, there is only one aspect of like being present. And it's like, are you fully there and are you fully focused? Because they are going to pay attention to that, both the good things and the bad things. But you can't also, as a side note, you can't like just get time back, right? So like I beat myself up over like how amazing that first 2 weeks was to then how shitty those first 2 months were after the fact of like, fuck, I was letting all of that other shit comprise my mental, you know, awareness, right? Mm-hmm. Of being there. Like, was I present? Sure. But like, I was not mentally there. And so I think just decompartmentalizing, like when you are focused on family time, when you're focused on time with your kids versus the business, but doing it in a way where there is that fine line of like, I think sometimes I will leave the office early, right? Or I'll, you know, take an afternoon off or whatever, right? But then I'm like, oh, but I can just get some of this other shit done at home. And then I end up getting shit done at home and it takes multiple hours. It's like, okay, if I'm focused on the business shit, I should just go do that, come home a little bit later if I have to, but then maximize the time that I have when I'm actually at home.
Yeah, really like put the hats on, you know, like when you're at work, put the work hat on, you get home, be the dad hat, you know, put your dad husband hat on, you know, and really, just differentiating that. Cause I struggle with that too. Cause like you said, we're on our phones in our industry. I mean, all the time, you know, but now my son's walking around and talking and, you know, his new thing now, if I have my phone in my hand and I'm looking at my phone, daddy, pocket, put it in your pocket. And, you know, and I'm like, man, when I hear him say that, it's like, oh wow. Mm. Like that's it hits so much different, you know, him like telling me that I'm on my phone too much. Like, whoa.
Yeah. I get a call. Dad, is that work again? It sucks because, and that's the thing too, is like my office is at my house. Like, you know, I got offices in St. Louis and down in Imperial and things like that. But like, I work from my house. It's just easier. It's more efficient. It's quicker. And I've got my designated office. Like my boys see me go in, they're like, oh, Dad, you got to work again. And I'm like, no, I'm just putting things down and I'm shutting the door. Mm-hmm. You know, when the door's shut and I'm outside of that room, I'm all yours. And I mean, I caught myself last night because, like I said, yesterday there was something that came up that really pissed me off. And I was sitting there and I was like, I just was thinking about it while they're there and they're playing with each other and they're like, Daddy, let's go outside and play. Let's go outside and play. And I'm like I can hear them and it's like background noise, but like I'm so focused on what pissed me off. And then finally, my oldest son has this rubber basketball and he literally just walked up and threw it in my face. Like this, and Connor's like, let's go outside. And I'm like wanting to get mad because he just threw a ball at my face. But at the same time, I'm looking at it, I'm like, man, I really fucked up the last like hour being pissed off and not really being present with them. And we went outside and played and everything was fine after that. Like I completely forgot what the fuck was bothering me yesterday or like at that time. And we just went outside and played catch. Like Connor's getting into baseball. So it's like fun for me working with him and playing catch with him in baseball. And then Ollie just wants to ride his scooter and be a crazy man. So I'm like, this is easy. So, and then that was that. Moved on from there. So as they get older, they will want more of your attention and they get creative at ways of getting it. And if they know, if you're not fully present, they will make you fully present.
Yeah.
So
I think one of the things that like I look back and I'm like, okay, what did I do so well in the beginning that helped me is like I was selling myself as the business, obviously, right, as we all typically do, but I was like letting people run the show. My clients run the show. So they message me at any freaking hour of the day. I'd be like, oh yeah, hey, like that's what a lot of people signed up with me for. Cause they're like, Adam's so responsible
for those
things, availability and those things. But like I've realized that those typically end up not just creating bad habits that transfer over in the personal life, but they're the worst clients usually because they don't, I mean, you didn't set the boundary, but they don't respect and understand, right, that those things are typically happening and going on. And so I've had to like, even in this season, as I'm like, not necessarily selling something that I was previously, but there would be four or five companies talking to the same person. And if I wasn't available, I was likely not getting the deal.
Yeah.
Like that was just how it was. Now it's like I positioned it a little bit differently to be like, hey, this is when I'm available. This is when you can talk to me. Of course, people don't listen, but being okay, like not getting the deal, that's what I've had to struggle with and be like, okay, what's more important, the time with my family or the money? And for me, just going through that season of like having the money, losing the money, now building it back up, it's just been like, the money's always going to be there.
Yeah,
you can always go make more of it. You can always pivot. You can always do those things. You can't get back the time.
Yeah, he's only going to be 8 months once.
Yeah.
You know, and it's.
Mine's not so much like, it's not the money. I'm just super fucking competitive.
That's
and
what
I
it is
see,
for me.
I want to see. I want to see my where my numbers fall in the list of top producers. And I'm like, damn, I just would have fucking taken that phone call. But then, like you said, but then I would have missed out on getting a chance to go play catch with my boys and watch them catch a baseball in their glove for the first time, or watching Oliver do a trick on his scooter. Like, those are the things that are priceless that I'm like, oh, okay, fuck that one deal that I didn't get. You know, it's all right. I'm sure
there's always going to be more deals.
Right, exactly. And, I mean, divorce sucks. Not getting to spend every day with your kids sucks. But one thing about the divorce and having my kids every 2 days is those 2 days that I have them, they probably get more attention from me in those 2 days than they did when I had them full, you know, when we were married and I was there full time. And I mean, you realize how much you miss them in that time, but you know, and then on the flip side, you know, it is kind of nice, 'cause I'll have 2 days where I can just go balls to the wall for work, and where I shut my phone off at 5 when I have my boys. That's when I'm picking them up from school or daycare. I've got those two other days right afterwards where I can work till 9 or 10 o'clock at night. So, I mean, there are some ups and downs with it, but I mean, ultimately, like, the best thing to come out of it was my focus and attention to those two kids on the days that I do have them. So, I'm in a little different situation than you guys are. It's just taking give them the time. I wish I had more time to give them. But obviously I'm trying to make the most of the time when I do have it. So every other weekend and every 2 days after that. So
yeah, for sure. So now going back to kind of when you first kind of stepped out on, you know, and going out on your own, like going all in on the entrepreneurship, you know, side of things, kind of back when you were building those 200 websites, was that like a big, you know, decision? I mean, obviously it's a big decision to leave your W-2, but like, how did that conversation go at home? Was your wife cool with it, or was it something you had to convince, or was it like a,
yeah.
So, I'm sure I had to when I left my W-2, you know? So
one thing that like, I have to give my wife a lot of credit for, right, is her ability to trust me to go make the decision that I feel is best for me and for us. And so whether it was leaving to go for my W-2 or to basically merge my company and then lose it all almost, like, she still believes in me to go do Builders of Authority. Right. And so I sold her on the vision of like, we are going to eventually obviously have a family, get, you know, multiple kids, things like that. And this is why we're doing it. For her, it wasn't necessarily like the things or the money. It was more so like the security and the trust behind, like, was I confident in what I was saying? I felt very confident, but I had no idea behind closed doors, like, what I was actually going to do. I just knew that if I didn't do it then, I was probably never going to do it. Like, we had just gotten married. We had just bought like kind of the forever dream home. And from 2020, you know, Murphy, we basically had 3 years. So I had 3 years to sprint before we had Murphy. Yeah. So I think like the timing of like what I had envisioned, right, when I first set out back in that hotel room in 2018 was like, the reason why I did that was for the freedom to work when I want to, where I want to, with who I want to, and how I want to. Like, I saw what we have now back in 2018 in that hotel room. And I think she could just see that by the way that I was talking in 2020. But for her, it was just like, you know, Adam, if you say this is the best thing that we can do, then go do it. And so from that aspect, like, I just felt like I kind of create back against the wall environment sometimes. And like, that was a true back against the wall things. I basically said, hey, I have 9 months worth of funds saved up. If the business isn't going in 9 months, I'll stop. That's what I told her.
That's literally, I had pretty much the same conversation. I think we had like 3 months saved up. I was like, we got 3 months saved up. Like, yeah, I can go back and go back to waiting tables, or I can keep working, you know, because what happened with me is I got my license right before COVID, and then, you know, the world shut down. I was still waiting tables at the time. And so I couldn't, you know, all the restaurants shut down and everything. So I was like, all right, well, time to be a full-time real estate agent. And so I started just treating it like a job for like 2.5 months. And then when everything opened back up, I went back for like a week or like 2 weeks. And I was on my phone the whole time. You know, they were, you know, I was getting my wrist slapped at the restaurant all the time. And, you know, I was like, honey, like, you know, we've actually, you know, I've been bringing money in doing this for the last couple months. Like, we might, if I'm afraid that I'm going to lose it if I, you know, go back to spending 40 hours a week here. I've got this momentum going. Like, you know, we've got, you know, about 3 months of bills saved up here. Like, yeah, I think I can keep closing deals if I keep going on it. And, you know, I was like, let's, you know, let's gamble here, not gamble, but let's, you know, take that leap. And, thankfully she was, you know, fine with it. And you know, here we are, you know, almost 4 years later. So.
Yeah. I had a choice between being a broke minor league baseball player and continue to chase that dream or do this. And those are really my only two options. And my heart just wasn't in baseball anymore. But it made it easy. It made it an easy transition into this because, I mean, how it ticks off the competitive edge that you get from playing sports. I mean, the work ethic and everything that it takes. I mean, for the first 6 months in, I was working 15, 16 hour days, just doing absolutely everything I could to get my name out there and get people to know who I am and trust me. To have them send me in business. I mean, it took a long time. And so, and it's just all things that I already knew that I had to do because of baseball. Baseball were long days. It's a hard sport. You're constantly having to train and work to get better. And it was a very easy transition to do what I was really already doing just into something new. And when you add that newness to it, it brings a whole new excitement. So you get, you know, you get that energy again to start doing something. Like, I was so burnt out on baseball and just done with it at that point that, like I said, I had this easy transition into this job and just went with it and, you know, have done pretty well with it. And obviously the up and down in the markets and things like that can affect things. But I mean, all in all, I feel like I'm doing better than most in this and want to continue to take it, run with it and see where we're at. So see what we can do with it.
So what are some goals you have for Builders of Authority? Just kind of elaborate on that. You have some goals long term?
It's a great question. Our next, so we're right at almost 50 members, and so our goal is to have 100 by the end of the year. So that's kind of like the next like base camp that we have. My brother is actually moving back from Springfield, Missouri, so he dropped out of college about a year ago. He's been in insurance sales, and so he's going to come work for us doing sales, but he's really just going to like learn the business for about 90 days starting in June. I have an executive assistant who's in Nicaragua. So it's just the three of us right now. And so, I think part of, not that I don't like goals, but I think part of the issue when I was growing the agency is I was around all these different people because I didn't know what I wanted from a goal standpoint with the business. And people were like, get to seven figures, get to multi seven figures, have all these employees, do all this shit, run. And so I was morphing my goals based off of what other people wanted either for me through me or for me for them through me, kind of like a tongue twister. Yeah. But and I realized it was because I felt so rushed to create those goals and to have all those things. So mine is more about the impact right now of getting to those 100 members, being able to grow that community and doing those things. And then I'm kind of just in this like period of like seeing like if I ever get paid back from the investment I just made in that partnership. Because I really want to like take some time, not off the business, because I was like almost thinking like, man, I'm just going to take 3 months off. I could easily do that. Just take 3 months off, go shadow. But then I lose a lot of that momentum, right? And I think there's pros and cons to doing that. I know a lot of people have done that have came out of certain situations. But I want to take my, not foot off the brake, I want to rechannel my energy into focusing more on me, my family, and the business from a foundation standpoint. So when we grow it, it doesn't break. And so I'm not like putting a number on and I'm not like doing all those things of where we need to be at because I'm so confident in what we are building, but I don't want to build it too fast and run into all the same issues that I was doing where I was just chasing numbers and goals and all those things. So different way of looking at it, but that's what I got going on.
All right.
There you go.
I like it.
It's awesome. What's your I know we've kind of touched on this, but what's mental health wise, the mentality building this new group, this new company, this new brand, this new basically starting over. What's that mentality been like for you? Obviously it's a little, you know, we've touched on a little bit with the kids and the family and all that, but mentally, you know, how I'm trying to think of the best way to ask this. How has your mentality changed since the switch, and what were some of the mental struggles that you had with the switch? So kind of two parts.
Yeah. So I think the biggest change I've had is kind of like what we just talked about, from like, I was doing things for all the wrong reasons and not taking care of myself. I was so much more worried about other people and making sure other people were taken care of before I was filling my own cup. And so that leads into some of like the mental health stuff where, you know, I was having a conversation recently with my wife, because I was just trying to explain, like, you know, she is staying at home with Murphy. No plans to go back right now. I was just explaining the season that we're in. Hey, like, I'm not paying a bunch of myself to this new company right now. You know where the other money went, all these different things. And for me, I've always associated like success with money coming in, like actual money coming into my bank account. And so I've had to restructure, and as she's not working either, it's kind of this season where we have money there. It's just no new money's really coming in. Money's going out. Of training myself a little bit to be like that. You can't associate your worth and success to money only coming in, right? And so in that process, I've struggled a lot with just the identity crisis of like, should I actually be coaching and training other people on this stuff? Like,
the
imposter syndrome that keeps coming up at any given stage. And so, you know, one of my mentors and coaches literally told me, Adam, the reason why you're having that is because you're in fact not an imposter. People that are actually imposters don't have imposter syndrome because they think what they're doing is the right thing over and over and over again. And I've realized I've been around all these people that were actually imposters. Like, I have freaking proof in so many different instances over the last 4 years, but I was attracted to them for what the show was that they were putting on. And so I think I'm just like kind of trying to get back down to like the base roots of like who I am from a health standpoint, especially mentally. Like, I've went and talked to a therapist and counselor for the first time ever.
What'd you think of that?
Mind blowing. Yeah. Like, I've worked with a mindset coach for the last 2.5 years, and a business coach for the last 3, but I was working on all the things mostly business focused that were, again, going after a lot of those things that I didn't actually want. And like, when I've started to share stuff with people, they're like, Adam, we knew you didn't want that, but we didn't, like, you were so convinced about it. And we were willing to help you through that. Sometimes coaches are there to help you through that so you can see it on the other side and them not completely wreck your world. But I think with the therapist and more so like the counseling situation is there's so many deep-rooted causes that you don't understand on the surface that are actually causing issues in your personal life and business.
Yeah.
And
I've been over 2 weeks for every 2 weeks for the last 3 years.
It's incredible.
It's awesome.
And so I gave a talk last week actually in South Carolina to a bunch of contractors mostly. And it was actually just, it was the first time I ever gave this talk, but it was leading from the front by setting the standard and being the example. But in that talk, I went all the way back to, you know, grade school, all the way back to my family growing up. My parents got divorced. I had all these other, like, on the outside looking in, everybody was like, hey, that is the perfect family. Adam is the quote unquote perfect kid, all these different things, right? That people were associating and tagging me as titles when I knew on the inside, and I knew like what was going on in our home. Like, I knew that wasn't perfect. Mm. Right. But the underlying thing was the lack of self-confidence that I've had in myself to actually go and do certain things has been the biggest issue for all issues in my life. And that's what I've kind of like uncovered is I started thinking like, oh, it's because I haven't done this or I haven't made this much money, which is more the imposter syndrome, or I don't have this skill set, or I don't have it. No, it's just like, I didn't believe in myself. Mm. Right. And so I've uncovered that, because at any given aspect in my life, whether it was in the workplace or whether it was me going and partnering on a deal or all these different things, I didn't have the self-confidence that I could go do it myself. So I thought other people merging together with other people would be the answer. And it wasn't. I realized on the other side, oh, I could just go do that. But I was too big of a bitch to just not run through the wall. Mm-hmm. I was trying to find ways to like go under the wall, over the wall and drive around it. So I think like I look back and working on those things, it's made me realize like, oh shit, I can tie a lot of this back to that aspect. And that's what I think most people don't want to get to, that like core foundation of like, what's the root cause? Because if you don't fix the root cause, like if I don't fix this right now, 2 years from now, we're going to be sitting down having the same conversation about how I did something stupid because I didn't believe in myself.
Yeah. It has that ripple effect.
Yeah. Now, Adam, you strike me as the kind of guy that has like a pretty in-depth morning routine. Am I right in assuming that?
Yes.
let's get into that.
Yeah. So I wake up at 4:20 every single morning. Yeah. Good time. From 4:20 to about 4:45, I'm getting to the gym. So I do 45-minute workout, 15 minutes on the treadmill. Do 10 minutes of reading, and I go to the Club Fitness in Arnold, where I've seen you at. And they got that new like cryotherapy type recovery room. So I go and do some either cryotherapy or massage in that room while I'm reading. And then I go to the sauna for 20 minutes. So my morning routine used to just like be super simple and small in terms of like time. But I realized like I need like 2 hours almost at the gym in order for me to feel like super, super good. But I've also tried to like start my work day earlier too. So I'm like battling right now of like making sure I get home and say, you know, goodbye to Delaney Murphy before I head to the office and all those things. But the basics are obviously the reading aspect, do 10 minutes of meditation. So I do some of that stuff in the sauna as well as at home. The workout, I read what I refer to as my champion's legacy. So it's a bunch of like purpose, why, burn driven things, I ams, I wills, and I will no longers. And then I start drinking the gallon of water for the entire day. And then a social media post first thing in the morning. That's kind of like, okay, I got that down. Now we're ready to go do the rest of the day.
Got it. I figured that you strike me as someone that has a very regimented morning routine. And I,
I mean, with how many things he has going on in his life, I feel like you have to.
Yeah.
I mean,
dude, anytime something goes off, I wake up a little bit later, like whatever the situation is, or like I forget to do, like I rarely ever forget to do one thing, but like it ruins the rest of the fucking day. And I'm not the best version of myself. So like a couple of weeks ago, my executive assistant was like, Adam, are you okay? I was like, no, I forgot to read. Like, you know, like I was rushing to the gym and I, you know, like all those different things. But I think kind of tying back into the mental health, and this is a conversation that like I had to have with Delaney as well. She was like, Adam, why were you at the gym for 2.5 hours on Saturday? I was like, well, I just got back in like late last night. So I spent extra time in the sauna. I did this crazy workout when I was in South Carolina. My back's hurting. So I spent more time on the massage. You know, I was like all these different things. Mm-hmm. I was like, but now I can be home in here. And I woke up really early on Saturday to go make it happen. Right. So it's just like understanding those things. But the old Adam would have been like, okay, no, I can't do all this stuff. I got to skip the workout, or I got to do a shortened workout and all those things. So I'm coming into this like new season of, man, I just got to like stand my ground and set those boundaries and not let other people set them, no matter who they are. And I think I was just letting certain people, even my wife in certain times, right, say, hey, Adam, like we need this or do this. I just now need to wake up earlier or do something more efficiently, but I can't compromise myself in order to make that work. Anytime I do that, you're going to get a worse version of me.
I need to be better about that for sure. Cause I've, ever since ever since Calvin's been born, before he was born, I was really into, I had such a dialed in morning routine and I think it just ultimately, I just need to start waking up earlier, you know, cause that's ultimately what my problem is I prefer to, I'm a night owl. I like to stay up later and then I need to just get rid of that and start waking up earlier.
We had this conversation with Matt. On Matt Vogt, because he was like, yeah, meet me at the gym at 4:00. I'm like, well, you know, my schedule's a little backwards than yours. Like, I have an end of the day routine.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if I can't decompress at the end of the day, where, like, no matter what, whether I have my kids or I don't have my kids, I'm taking 2 hours at the end of the day to myself, phones off, nothing. And, you know, that's where I'll get my reading in. That's where I'll kind of run through my schedule, my calendar, what I did for the day, what I've got going on the next day, to prepare myself. So then when I wake up in the morning, you know, my mornings can be very scattered because, you know, unfortunately I don't get to plan the closings. I don't get to schedule when the closings are. I'm just expected to be there whenever. Mm-hmm. And so I have to basically plan I'm planning ahead. And like today, like I had normally on Wednesday mornings, I'm at the gym at 9 a.m. and we're doing CrossFit for an hour, get done, come here, shower, eat, start the podcast. Well, now I had a closing this morning and I had my kids, and now I've got a plan how I'm going to work this out. My closing was at 10 a.m. I'm not going to be, I can't go to the gym from 9 to 10 because I'm not going to make it to the closing. So now I'm going at this afternoon. And now my whole, like, my routine is going to be slightly changed because I've got that. Then I've got jujitsu. Then I got my kids. And then, okay. But I know at the end of the day, I know that once the kids go to bed, I will always have 2 hours at the end of the day versus 2 hours in the morning to get these things done. And I don't feel rushed. I don't feel anything like that. And that's, so it's just kind of opposite. I feel like as long as you have some sort of routine that allows you to get your head clear, whether it's in the morning before your day starts or the end of the day to get yourself prepared for the next day, I think no matter how you do it, I think you're going to win or come out ahead if you just didn't have anything.
Yeah, I totally agree.
100%.
Yeah, it's better get it in than not at all. Right. You know, whether it's the end of the day, beginning of the day, middle of the day. I mean, you know, you got to put that time in to invest in yourself because,
right.
I mean, you know, no one's going to invest in yourself but yourself.
Right. I mean, like I try to get to bed by midnight and I'm usually up at 7. And you know, as long as I sometimes my 6:30, if the kids are, you know, a little extra squirmy,
same.
But yeah, I'm usually up at 7 and I just kind of ease into my day. I'm like, you know, I don't have some coffee. I won't rush. Just kind of take my time. Cause I take another quick peek at my schedule. So I know what the hell I've got. Cool, set, mine's ready, but everybody's different. But I think ultimately, if you have some sort of routine beginning or end of the day, it's going to help you move forward for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
So define success. What does that mean? What does success mean to you?
Yeah. So that was a thing that I was kind of referencing earlier is mm-hmm.
It's not just numbers in the bank account.
I didn't know, right, what success was supposed to be. So for the last couple of years, I was creating all these crazy goals and doing all these things, accomplishing a lot of them. But they were money or reward driven, right? For me, success is literally just the simplicity of winning the specific day at hand and not focusing too heck of a lot on what's going to happen next. And that for me has been one of the biggest changes because I've tried to like live in the future for so freaking long and tell people, hey, I'm doing this or I'm not doing this because of what's coming. Success is like literally at this moment, just being able to like, you know, when you're like really tired, but it's like a good tired and you're putting your head on the pillow. You're like, yeah, I fucking crushed that day.
Yeah.
That's what success for me is like literally right now in this moment, because again, I've been around all these people and I don't know how they sleep at night. Like I just don't,
mm-hmm.
But they have all the, like they say they make all this money and then they don't, like, right. So like I had convinced myself that I was quote unquote successful, but the scoreboard has completely changed. Like me doing an entire day of that morning routine, crushing the day at the office, going home and spending it with Delaney and Murphy, like that's a win for me and that's success. And it's going to change over time, right? But I think if you only have success defined as numbers in the bank, revenue you're doing, awards you're winning, a lot of these things that people on social media like to make you feel like you need, that's where all the shit goes wrong. It's where you lose your identity. You don't understand your purpose and why. You're unfulfilled. Like everybody said, get to 7 figures. I got there and I was like, what the fuck? This is stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I just have way more problems and I'm less profitable at 1.7 million in a year than I was at 750.
Yeah.
Right. And I have a heck of a lot more clients that are all pissed off.
Right. More money, right. More problems.
Yeah. So I think it's just like taking this day by day and not trying to like live too much in the future, but being like, did I win the day? Did I do the shit that I needed to do today? Did I keep the promises to myself and to my family and to my team and to all my clients and all those other things? And it's not like, I know a lot of people like talk about like scaling the business and then going back and just doing something super simple and small. Like I'm kind of in that, like, whether you want to, it's not like monk or anything like that, but kind of just like in a very chilled spot that I like need to be in to not just chase shit. I have so many opportunities. People like, hey, come work. You know, people are like, hey, you want to come work for me now? Or you want to partner on this deal and do all this? I'm like, dude, I ain't partnering with fucking anybody right now. Like, just chill right now. And so I think it's just, again, going slow is fast for me right now. Going slow is success for me right now.
And odds are that's probably going to change another 5, 6, 7, 8 times before you sail off into the sunset and retire. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, it took you a minute to figure out what your why was when you had all these other people telling you why you should be doing something. And I'm glad that you've been able to get to that point where it's like, no, my why is my why now, not what other people tell me my why should be.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about business. Let's talk about, you know, you talked about having that persona of like, hey, I'm, you know, Dave, the what was he? The tree trimmer?
Yeah.
Hey, Adam, the business guy. Let's get away from that. What do you like to do outside of business? What are you doing to kind of get away from all of this? Because you got a lot of shit going on. Like, what is it that you do for fun? What are some things like that that people might not know about you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I've struggled with that, to be honest. Like I've been so involved in the bit, like, it, just so many different things that, like, I haven't done as much for myself or decompressed in some of the ways that I have. But like right now, like we have a pool at our house. So just like going, like the pool just finally got opened up for us to be able to swim in it like this week. But just going and spending time like in my backyard is great for me. I don't golf as much as I do or as I would like to, but I love doing that. I play some recreational sports and things like that. But honestly, for me, like the biggest thing is probably traveling. So like, I love being able to travel and go and speak at different events, go and on site and consult and coach for clients. But then always being able to like add on some additional days to that. So like that for me is like a win-win in every situation. Yeah. And now that Delaney's not going back to work, we've taken Murphy 3 different times already to when I've gone and spoken at an event. They just come down with me and it's super cool. But there's things, right, that like, I want to start doing more of in that regard of being able to like schedule time to actually go play golf, take more vacations of like not having work attached to that. Like we took our baby moon and that was the first time like we took an actual vacation that had nothing else tied to it, whether it was like somebody else's wedding or me speaking at an event, like there was just no time for almost 4 years. Right. And so I've had to like realize like, time goes by super, super quickly. And you realize, hey, I'm grinding, I'm hustling, I'm doing all those different things. I don't have time for that. If you don't have time for it and you don't make time for it, it's never going to happen. And I guess like I felt guilty for a while of being like, should I be taking time for this? Especially after having Murphy, it's like, shouldn't all my free time go into this? Right. And so just learning to like, again, kind of put myself first and decompress and do more of what makes me happy and less of the shit that doesn't.
It's like the airplane. I mean, what do they tell you when the oxygen mask? Put yours on first.
Right.
I mean, it's the same thing. I mean, for those people that don't know, Adam is a hell of a softball player. He has that right side slap down. I mean, he led our team. He was our leadoff guy, got on base all the time, and probably scored, probably at least 5 or 6 times a game just because he'd slap that shit the other way. He was always on base. So, I mean, had some fun doing that. But, yeah, well, any places in particular you'd like to travel to?
Man. Like to get to? We always talked about going to like Bora Bora or Fiji. Like I just always envision like in one of the
huts.
Yeah. So like we had always kind of talked about doing that before Murphy was born, but we didn't obviously get to, but like I love the credit card point game. Mm-hmm. And so I got like, I think it's like $17,000 or $18,000 worth of American Express points, like stocked up. It would eventually obviously be a family vacation, but like that's a cool place for me that I want to go do that. But honestly, there's so many cool places that I get to go to now in the United States that I'm fascinated by all these little small towns and things like that. Like I spend a lot of time in Greenville, South Carolina. I go there once a quarter and just like incredible stuff that you would never think to want to go to those places. But I love anywhere with a beach or a pool. Like I'm not a hiking or a mountains type of person or a snow, like we're going to go to Colorado, those types of things. I'm more like, hey, how can I go and even if I have to get some work done, how am I actually just like chilling and relaxing in the process?
Yeah, I was watching something on social media with some British guy talks about America and tries to explain to other British people, like things in America that British people don't understand. And he was like, people in Europe don't understand how Americans have never left America. And he's like, well, you guys don't understand how fucking big America is. There's like so much shit in America.
Yeah.
Like America, that would be like someone in Europe going from, you know, from the UK over to France. Like it's just an hour long plane ride. Like that would be like us going to Kansas City or St. Louis or from to Chicago or things like that. Like,
yeah.
The states are so big and there's so much shit here I want to explore America before I start traveling outside the country. Cause there's so many cool places and things like South Carolina. My parents rave about South Carolina.
Yeah. I've heard great things.
Like Charleston. They're always like, you got to go to Charleston. You got to check out Charleston. I mean, like I said, like the whole East Coast intrigues me.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Fuck the West Coast. I live there. Fuck that place. I want to go east.
Well, I mean, what I love is, I mean, there's areas of the country like California that you could be on the beach. In one day, you could be on the beach, the desert, and the mountains, like within a couple hour drive of each other.
Desert part of it. You don't want to experience.
Don't need to go there.
No. Fuck that. You go to the beach, go to the mountains, stay away from the desert. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Anyway, yeah. Anything else that you're looking forward to, both personally and business wise, moving forward?
And you said you got the Builders Authority event coming up next month.
So we got did a lot in ticket sales already. Did a lot in sponsorship stuff. So that's exciting. I think just like doing more shit like this, just like talking. I think one of the biggest aspects of why I do as much content as I do, and I haven't even like, I don't think I've even scratched the surface of like getting real raw and authentic. I've just kind of done it for business or promo purposes, but like having the conversation like we had today, like opening up about some of the shit that like people don't talk about, right? Man. Like if you, like I was trying to have a conversation with one of my clients the other day. Is I was like, hey man, I'm not going to go into all the details, but I like almost lit $100,000 plus on fire and threw away $200,000 in recurring business. Do I show up and coach you and coach our community? Do I look like I have? Do I look like I just went through that? Yeah. He's like, no. I said, well, stop complaining that you're not getting the freaking likes and the comments on your shit, right? Like, but those are the things that like, once this kind of all dust comes to settle, is just like educating people on the realities of what can happen if you're around the wrong people. If you don't do your due diligence, if you listen to all the shit that's on social media, because like that's where I went wrong. If I wish somebody would have been there to tell me, like I have a agency that I'm working with right now that was almost going to just take a bunch of money and go partner with somebody that had the almost identical profile of the person I just partnered with. I said, dude, don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
They were getting ready to take a bunch of fucking money and give up equity in their company. But that for me right there is awesome, because right now they went and found an even better partner, getting more money because I told them how to value their company, all those different things. And it's like a much better fit that we've worked through over the last 6 weeks. But like, if I don't have that conversation, right? So I think there's just different aspects of like eventually what my content will be able to come to from a situation of where it's not just like all hammering out, like here's the tactics, here's the strategy. There's that shit everywhere. But what's the real, raw, authentic stuff? What's the lessons that can be taken that like most people just don't want to take the time to learn or talk about?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's why we love doing this every week. I mean,
that's awesome.
We look forward to Wednesdays every week because we get to come in here and basically have those discussions, have those conversations, and, you know, talk about manhood, fatherhood, the mentality it takes to be successful. Plus we do real estate, you know, and those first three topics, like, that shit gets raw. Like that, like it's tough. Like being an entrepreneur sucks sometimes. Like people don't get that. Like being a man in today's society can suck. People look down on us. People talk down to us. There's ways that we shouldn't act. And it's just like, fuck you. I'm going to be who I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And that's just how it is. Like that, you know, obviously you want to be respectful in that sense, but like, you know, talking about some of these subjects that we talk about can get pretty raw. And I think that's what's been great about this whole project or whatever you want to call this for us. Like, we love it. So you know, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep having these conversations. We'd love to have you back on again and, yeah, you know, yeah, in a year sure. from now, so we can see what else, what, where you've gone from today till a year from now and see what you're going to see where you've been. So, well, yeah, I mean, talking about Builders of Authority, you've got your event. How can people get tickets?
Yeah, so you can go to buildauthority.co/event. Yep. You can also just go on Facebook. We have a free Facebook group. Type in Builders of Authority on Facebook, join there, and then get connected with me on social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram. You can go to adammcchesney.com and see all the different social links.
Cool. Sweet. Cool. Right on.
Anything else you want to plug before we let you go?
Thanks for having me. This is awesome. You guys got a freaking awesome setup. I've been on a lot of podcasts, both virtual and in person. This is definitely one of the best.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. So, one last thing before we let you go. It's a little game we like to play at the end of our show. It's called the Tombstone Game.
All
right. Here lies Adam McChesney. What's it say on your tombstone?
Man, I've never thought about that question.
That's why we ask it. Not many people have.
I think impact over income. I just have to think of something that's like right on the tip of my brain. But impact over income.
Perfect. That's awesome.
Perfect. All right, guys.
I was just going to say, Adam, thanks for joining us. Yeah, we appreciate it, man.
It's a lot of fun. Appreciate having you on. Yeah, guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, please click that subscribe button for us. Comment what you thought below. Hit that like button, and we will see you next time.